number five. As we look in Luke chapter 5, again, the theme of this book, this chapter, is Jesus Calls. And as we take a good look at it, we saw the key verses, verse 5, in our studies earlier. And verse 5 says, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing, but nevertheless at thy word I will let down the net." Funny how a carpenter can tell a fisherman how to fish, but if that carpenter's the Lord Jesus Christ, you can trust him on where to throw the net.
Right.
And as we look in this chapter, we saw there's 39 verses, 949 words, all inspired by God, kept forever in this particular chapter. In our King James Bible, at a 4.8 grade level, we saw the call of the Lord, the cleansing of the leper. And now we're seeing the criticism of the lost, as the lost criticize him. He asked them a question as we ended up this morning. He said, "What reason ye in your hearts?" He knew what they were thinking. He really knew.
Yes.
You don't know when you say that. You're doing what they call assuming. Don't do that.
Amen.
Listen, there's sins of assumption and sins of presumption, and you're guilty when you do that thing. But the biggest one is blaspheming God when you do that, because you're making yourself God at that point. It's kind of like when a man takes two different texts that say different things, and it's supposed to be the same text in the Bible, and you have to go to them for the final authority. He puts himself in the place of God. That's blaspheming God. Never thought of that in the Ten Commandments that way, have you? But people do it all the time. And people fall for that. You know why? People are looking for something other than the God of this Bible. They don't know what it is. They don't know who he is. They want something. And I've heard people say, "We want something real." You don't want anything real. Because when real shows up, you won't do right. A lot of people say, "You're unhappy and you just need to get saved." No, you don't need to get saved because you're unhappy. You'll be unhappy after you get saved. You need to get saved because you're unholy. "Be ye holy, for I am holy" is a commandment you can't meet without Christ. You need to get saved because you're unholy, not unhappy. And we saw Jesus and his pardon this morning, how he said, "Man, thy sins be forgiven thee." You will get to one day ask this man, "Would that have been fine for you?" Now listen to this. I don't know if he was older or younger when that was said to him. But from that point to the day he died could not have been more than 40 years. So if you ask him, "What's more important, the first part of this or the second?" He'll say the first part. "Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." Because one day, listen, that body died. And that "man, thy sins are forgiven thee" got him into heaven. Not because of what was said, but who said it. Now watch this. We're going to pick up verse 24. Jesus says this. We see Jesus and his power. He says, "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today." They didn't know what to make of that. Haven't seen it on that fashion before. But tonight as we look, I want to preach to you on Christ and the power of God. Christ and the power of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you. We ask you, God, to just bless our time together and help us tonight, Lord God, as we look into your word. Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts and teach us things that we know not. According to Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law," that God, that you'll show us these things. Help me as I preach according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, to preach the word, being an in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight, there's some teachings about God's power, and I want us to understand both of them very clearly. And number one, in verse 24, this power is a power that we can know. He said, "But that ye may know." He said "ye" to include everybody there, the Pharisees, the doctors of the law, the people there. He wanted everybody to know this power. If you're saved, you already know this power, because this power changed your life. It's the power of God. when people say, well, I made a profession of faith one time and it didn't do anything, that's why it didn't. Let me say that again. I made a profession of faith one time and it didn't do anything. Reason why? You're trusting in it. You're trusting a work that you did to do something and it didn't work. It don't work. Jesus Christ works, but just saying something don't work. Where we got taught that garbage was Walt Disney. The wishful power. When you wish upon a star. Wishing don't work.
Right.
Okay? That's a TV show. That's a movie. You can't bring that into real life and expect it to work.
Yeah.
He preached against Disney. We all going to hell. Probably so. But anyway. I've got friends that they mention Disney and all of America gets mad at them. I mention it's like, hey man, preacher, we know. I'm like, there. Now I'm feeling the feedback. I can hear it. I heard somebody booing. That made me feel so much better. Beware when all men speak well of thee, right? I see he says that ye may know that the Son of Man hath what? Power. Hath power upon earth to forgive sins. Now get that thing. People think that when you get saved that you do whatever you want to till you die, and then when you get to heaven, the power's there, and then you get clean. No, he's got it here.
Right.
That's the difference between saved and lost. Saved people know that power here. Yeah. It's a power we know. And it says, he said to the sick of the palsy, not a paralyzed man, somebody with palsy. I explained to you this morning that palsy is something that affects your brain. It causes your limbs not to correspond with what your brain's telling them to do. We've had two children like that. It's an easy thing to understand once you know it, but they're not paralyzed. Okay? I've been around people paralyzed. They're not palsied people. Say, but the Greek word such and such, yeah, and it's translated palsy because this man had palsy. Who do I trust? Guys that have spent time in studying languages and being in the ministry for years that translated our Bible, pray and ask God help them with each word, or do I trust a lesbian that went to Bob Jones University and two other sodomites with her? And yes, this is not politically correct what I'm saying. If I get thrown off Facebook, YouTube, and wherever else, I don't care. Truth is truth. Okay? And I see plainly, he says right here in this verse, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. Get that thing. Get up. Time to get up now. And this power we know, when he says go into thine house, I want you to notice this. When he told this man to go into thine house, faith received must first be practiced at home. Now listen, when we talk about a power that we can know, I'm going to give you four things that will help you out with this. Number one, no more weed. Well, I don't do that. Well, for the rest of us, it did. No more weed. Whether it's legal or not, no more weed. Right now, they're telling you that stuff will cure cancer to get it legalized. It won't. They just want to get high. Hey, man, I'm for medical marijuana. No, you're not. You're wanting to get high, and you want the cops off your back. But when you get saved, no more weed. Simple as that.
Well, the Bible doesn't say marijuana, nor thou shalt not have marijuana, man.
Hey, guess what? It don't say drink out of the toilet either, but you ought to have brains enough not to do it.
Right.
Amen. No more weed. Now, for the rest of us that you say you've never done this before, no more worry. Worry is a sin. Worry's always been a sin. When he said, take no thought for thy life in Matthew chapter 6, that means no more worry. Why? Because when you get that power he's talking about, there's not nothing there to worry you anymore. You may get sad, you may get put out, you may get mad, you may get glad, but you don't have to worry about a thing because your Father has everything in control. And I went walking this morning and I saw something I ain't seen at all. I don't know what kind of birds these are. They're so small I couldn't see them. But there's about 24 birds, and I mean, they were like this big, little tiny thing, took off when I come walking down the road, and I thought, if God can feed that crowd, I ain't got a thing to worry about.
Right.
He said, if he can feed them, he's got you. God has this under control. Quit worrying. Both of you don't need to sit up night and think on it all night. He don't sleep as it is. Let him take care of it because he's got it all worked out. All he wants you to do is believe him. The opposite of faith is worry, and worry is a sin. Now, listen, no more weed, no more worry. How about this one? For you so-called deacons out there that's listening to all this, I know there ain't none here because we ought to start drug testing here, but we ain't. But we might. No more wine. No more wine. Why? Well, I just drank me glass night. You do that because you're a rebel, not because it helps you with anything.
Right.
Well, it helps me sleep. No, it don't help you sleep. Alcohol's a depressant. No wonder you so full of worry and wanting to go legalize marijuana. You've been drinking wine so long, it's done messed up your brain. By the way, alcohol still destroys brain cells, whether it's legal or not. But listen, when I got saved, no more wine.
Yeah.
I don't drink wine. Don't have to. We don't have wine with the Lord's Supper. That's not communion. It's the Lord's Supper. And it's supper because what supper's what meal? Evening. It's the simple stuff. Don't miss it. But there's no more wine. I went to a Catholic funeral one time, and I'm sitting there enduring to the end that I might get saved. And listen, one of the school teachers from up here in town, she is sitting up there, and she was helping the priest because the altar boy laid out that day. Can you believe that? So sorry they lay out a church over there, too. Some of y'all make very good Catholics. You know that. Listen, this guy gets through and handing the little thing out or whatever. He gets the end of it and says, well, we can't pour this out. And this girl says, Mrs. Such and Such, she goes, and kills that thing sitting up on the stage at a funeral. I bet that ain't the first Catholic ever got drunk at a funeral either, and probably won't be the last. Ain't that something? When I got saved, they asked me, did I want that stuff? No. They looked at me and said, you're refusing? Yes. Now try it again. We'll do this again. I don't do that stuff. I don't go where they have it open and everybody says, oh, wait, everybody's doing that. I don't care if everybody does it and everybody else does it. I ain't doing it.
Amen.
Why? Because about 30 years ago, 3 decades ago, I plugged into something that got plugged into me, and I ain't wanted it since. I will tell you this. I don't know if I could handle going to a place like that where everybody's doing that or not, so I don't go. I just don't go. There ain't no chance of me finding out because I ain't going to go in there and find out. I've told you a few weeks ago when I go to these things or high school graduation stuff, every 10 years I'll go to them. And I always like to go to the eating part of it. I'm just being honest with you. We used to have good food. I don't know what it is about my crowd, but they know good food. We had chicken with that yellow gravy stuff on it one year. Boy, that was the best chicken I ever had in my life. I think that was in 2007 or something like that. And listen, when we go to these places, and listen, if they send out, we're going to have another thing over here. It says BYOB. I don't go. I don't know if I could say no enough, so I don't find out. I just quit going. Say, so, preacher, you probably could handle it. I probably could, but I ain't going to find out.
That's right.
Now listen, you got no worries, no weed, no wine, and no more wishing. I don't have to wish that things would get better. Well, I wish the Democrats would act better. I wish the Republicans would do right. I wish this. Well, we see how good that's done in America for the last 70 years of wishing. It happened. But a power that we know, he said that you may know that the Son of Man hath power where? On earth to forgive sins. I know that power. I ain't got a wish for that. I ain't got a wish that I do better. I can actually do better. You know why? I surrender to him and do better. So you act like you don't ever mess up. No, I mess up a lot, but I keep them accounts short. That way I don't dwell on them.
Amen.
What I did last week's none of your business, because you know why? I've already put it under the blood.
Amen.
Only the devil and his people would want to bring that stuff up. That's why people can't let go of your past, by the way. They want to bring up your past to you because they are of the devil. So when I do that to people, then you are of the devil. You got to get away from that. Quit acting like the devil. You don't belong to him. If you got saved, you got a power that you can know. And the power, he's got power on earth to forgive sins. No more weed, no more wishing, no more wine, and no more worry. God did that.
Amen.
We can't even take credit for it. It's so good. But listen to this one. It's a power we can know. And look down at verse 25 and 26. It's a power, number two, it's a teaching. It's a power that we can show. He said, and immediately. Now everybody's going to see it. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed into his own house, glorifying God. Boy, the situation back home changed when you got saved, didn't it? I thought about, before I preached this tonight, I was thinking about old Ben back there, old brother Ben. If I had to say, well, Ben, did you get changed when you got saved? He'd already told me this before. Listen, they knew it in his house. They may say you strict, they may say you whatever, but they can't call you no drunk no more. Why? Plugged in. You know how, listen, y'all, some of y'all older folks help me out here. Do you remember every year this was like fire hazard year, fire hazard time of the year? It's not so much no more, but it used to be. And the reason being, Brother Fain, do you remember them Christmas lights, say this big? And you'd have to screw them into the thing. And if one of them went out, the whole outfit went out. But when you turned them things on, you could go ahead and cut your heat off. Because it's like having a half a dozen heaters up there on the wall. Them things was bright and they was hot. Remember that? Remember how you'd hear the car at the fire department if you lived down here? They'd be called out all the time. People's trailers and houses getting caught on fire. And every time they'd be called out, guess where that's going to? Christmas tree caught on fire. After a while, we finally caught up with times and got wisened up. And we said, you know what? If them things are setting on fire, we need to make a new one of them things. So they come out with this brand new idea. It's called LED bulbs. They're brighter. They'll blind you, but they won't catch you on fire. One can go out and the rest of them will burn. So my wife finds these lights the other day, and I was scared to death. She got them hung up. I thought, our house is going to catch on fire. Sure, it's the world. Them things is that big. They look like them old-timey lights, but I made sure they was LEDs. They just look old school. We ain't going old school on them lights. Scared me to death, wouldn't it you? But I'm going to tell you what the tale was on them lights is when you plug them in. So what happens? They come on. Do you know what that means? That means in that little rectangular box over there, if you take one finger and stick it in this side, and you take the other finger and stick it in that side, something's going to knock you about 5 feet that way that you can't see. It's called electricity. Do not do what I just said. It was a joke. Disclaimer. Okay, my lawyer told me to tell y'all that. Anyway, you go over there and you plug something in there, and if there's something coming to that, whatever's on the end of it comes out. It's shown. When we plugged in bulbs up the other day, boy, there they come. Ain't that something? I like that stuff. But I'm going to tell you what I like even better. I like the fact that when we plug into him, we rise up. We go home glorifying God. You know what happens when you get saved? You get plugged in, you go home and things change. Now instead of cussing God every breath, you're glorifying God. Instead of wondering where it's going to come from, you know who's sending it. You may not know the delivery man, but you know who's sending it. It says, listen, the best testimony of the work of Christ is often in the home, not on the stage. I don't care what a preacher preaches on, he can preach on anything he wants to. But I want to see how they live at the house. That's going to make the difference. Okay. And verse 26 says, and they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. What did they see? They saw a strange religion. Nobody ever saw that before. They saw the guys that had been running the show claiming they knew God show up and say, you're blaspheming God. Who can forgive sins but God only? And he said, okay, I got a question for you. Is it easier for me to tell this man he's forgiven or to heal him? Instantly they shut up.
Yep.
Instantly. They didn't say nothing else. And he said, arise, take up thy bed and walk.
Yep.
You know what that guy did? God they knew was crippled. Yeah. Got up and walked right in front of him. I don't know if he got up and hopped on one foot or did the pogo stick thing we was talking about or what he did, but they knew that guy was changed. And listen, when you get saved, that's what happens to you. You rise up from that sin that you couldn't get out of, and boy, you start bouncing around and glorifying God, and you go back to your house, and they say, man, we've seen something strange today. We ain't never seen no religion like that one before. And they also saw a strange regeneration. They saw a man get born again right before their very eyes. So when did he get born again? As soon as Christ said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Closed deal right there. Any of y'all ever had to sign papers on a house? Ain't that like pulling your own hair out one hair at a time? And it probably takes that long, too. You go in there, you sit down, and finally when you're doing the closing, we got to the very end of the deal, and they sitting there going through all this other stuff. First time I got out of it is in her name. Boy, that second time wasn't so much. Sign here, sign here, sign here, sign here, sign here, sign here. Oh, well, let's wait 3 weeks and you can sign here and sign here and sign here and sign here and sign here. Oh, wait a minute, we got to come back tomorrow and sign here and sign here and sign here. By the time we signed that very last one, I didn't believe it was over. And then the lawyer walks out of the room, walks back in, and the guy buying the house, and he said, where's my money at? And I thought, oh, no, the guy didn't pay him. Now we got to start all over. You know what the funny part was? The bank delayed the day. So why would they do that? I have no idea. Other than the fact they in on it too. I don't know. But I had somebody tell me, and y'all tell me if this is true, if they keep that money 24 more hours, they get interest off that money for that day, don't they? Gosh, now it makes sense. Well, if you don't get it in before 3:59, if you get in at 4, then we can keep it another day. That's exactly what happened. Ain't that something? How dare y'all, right? Well, here's the funny part. After you go through all that other stuff and you go through that, and finally when the deal's done, you've got 6 months to a year of your life invested in something, and you're like, you're so relieved to have it's over, you don't even know what to do with yourself. You walk out there and you got a check in your hand. You want to go to the bank, but you really want to just go to the house and cry. God, thank you, this is over. I hope I never have to do it. You know, that type of thing. Tears of joy. I look at this power that you can show, and I see this. He didn't put them out 6 months. He didn't make them wait. He told them, thy sins are forgiven thee. They saw a strange regeneration because the Fed asked them Pharisees and doctors, how do you get saved? You know what they'd have told them? Oh, well, you got to keep the commandments. You got to go to the temple once a year. You got to do this. And if you sin, you got to bring your bull with you or a goat, depending on what you got. And if you're too poor, you can bring two turtles. You know, they went through the whole thing with them. You know how a man got saved in the Old Testament? Listen to me. All them things were a type of him to come. All they had to do is trust that coming Redeemer. If they put their faith in him, that by the grace of God, they'd believe him, guess what they got? They got the same salvation you got. There is one difference, though. They didn't get the Holy Spirit dwelling in them permanently. That's where you see all these goofballs that think you can lose your salvation. They take an Old Testament passage out of context to try to say that stuff. Because we get them to the New Testament, and then when the church is founded and put here on earth, now the Holy Spirit of God indwells you permanently, and it's a power you can show, and you can show the rest of your life. They said, we've seen a strange regeneration today. We saw the Lord save somebody before he healed them and put more emphasis on that. They saw also a strange restoration. You know what the strange part of it was? He restored him instantly. He didn't have to go to classes. Listen, I understand if you're in a bad car wreck and you lose the ability to walk or something like that, and if they say you can get it back, you got to go through months of rehab. You've got to start off learning how to walk again and all that. This guy gets up and starts, boom, he comes right up. They saw a strange restoration. Nobody had ever seen that before. And then they saw a strange return. So what kind of strange return was that? That's when that man got up and returned to his house without them four guys carrying him back home. Remember the first part of this thing, they had to carry him. They saw a strange return. He didn't need them to get back. Just like after you get saved, you don't need somebody constantly explain the Bible to you, what is the Holy Spirit in them, now the Holy Spirit in you, and he'll start showing you things. you have a strange return yourself. But they seen something else too they wasn't prepared for. They saw a strange redeemer. They didn't know how to take him. That, listen, when he healed that other guy, this leper up here, he tells them, he says, I will, be thou clean, tell no man, but go show thyself to the priest, offer sacrifice for thy cleansing and so forth. He didn't do that. He went out and told everybody what he'd done, and it boxed Jesus in where he couldn't get out no more for all the people getting on top of him wanting healed. They come wanting him to heal them. These four guys that we talked about earlier, they heard about it, and they said, we got this friend. They bring him to the Lord. They break up the roof there. And by the way, who paid for that? I've always wondered, hadn't y'all? I mean, you come break up a man's house. I know there's good to come, but still we got to fix that, right? I always thought to myself, I hope these guys, instead of them being preachers like I made them out, I hope they were general contractors and knew how to fix a roof. But anyway, good sheetrock man, a good roofing man, you know. And I looked at this thing, and the multitude started coming, and finally Jesus had to withdraw himself from them and go pray. And then he comes back in, they're back, there's more people there won't be healed, and he goes right around all that stuff and starts teaching them, and then he saves a man. That's a strange redeemer. You know why? They're looking for somebody to overthrow Rome. So how is them people like that, the same way American people are like that now? You know what we want? We don't want to be saved. We don't want to not go to hell and go to heaven. We want somebody to come overthrow this government so they'll quit being so oppressive. Let's face it. I know we're not Rome, living in Rome, but we are similar. You got a bunch of perverts that's over us, a bunch of sex perverts. Mm-hmm. Then we got $21 trillion, not million, a billion, trillion dollars missing out of the Pentagon, the military budget. Just gone. Nobody knows where it's at. But if you use Cash App or PayPal for $600, we coming to see y'all. Excuse me. I don't have the percentage, but what's the percentage of $600 versus $21 trillion? If everybody in America done Cash App all at the same time for $600, they ain't got enough IRS agents to keep up with that right now, nor would that be close to $21 trillion. I don't know where the $21 trillion is, by the way. We won't even discuss the $84 billion dropped off over in the desert, or that other $81 billion that Congress can't seem to find. Wait a minute. Where's all that going? See, we want somebody to come along and set that crowd straight. I got news for you. That's getting worse and going to get worse. Are you with me? You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see the Lord save some people. Yeah. That's more important to me than that crowd getting right. I hope Jesus comes back. They're saying that because Joe Biden's president. When Trump's president, you wouldn't holler that. See, we want a political redeemer just like they did. You know what we need? We need a personal redeemer. We need somebody to save your relatives, save your kids, save your friends, save your coworkers. That's who we need. Because I got news for you, and I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but this is never going to get better. Evolutionists believe that, and it's not worked for them yet. In fact, we've seen a deterioration in the last 50 to 100 years that's unparalleled in human history, how bad we've gotten. But wait, that personal redeemer I'm talking about, he's also a powerful redeemer, and he tells this bunch, I'm leaving here, but I'm coming back just like I left, through them clouds. And when he comes back, he is going to set everything in order. The very God they deny and the very God they hate is going to rule over them with a rod of iron during the millennial reign. So who's going to like that? We are, because we're going to rule and reign with him. Listen, this is a power, he says, you can know. It's a power you can show. And you know what they'll say about you when they see this in you? Boy, he's strange. Boy, she's strange. I've been in church all my life. I ain't never seen nothing like that. That's what they'll say about you. And that's exactly how they'll say it. They'll say, well, ain't nobody in this family ever been like that. Now look at that one. Yeah, look at that one. That's something God did. See, I mentioned this morning. You got all these people in this chapter. You got Peter over here who's a fisherman having to take advice from a carpenter on how to catch fish. You got a leper over here that when we look at his life and what was going on with him, I mean, he lost all feeling, faith, and all this other stuff, but yet he came to Jesus and said, will you make me clean? He said, I will. And then we got this guy on this being carried in by these four men. They believed for him, whether he believed or not. But then we got those Pharisees and doctors of law sitting there, and the power of God was there to heal them. Isn't that interesting? Do you know, if I'm reading this correctly here, it says in the very next verse, in verse 27, and after these things he went forth. Get a picture of this. Nobody else was healed that day but that one guy. One guy. Why? Because the Lord was there to help the Pharisees and the doctors of the law to get them saved, and heal their spiritual condition they had. But like I mentioned this morning, are you like the leper guy? Are you like Peter? Are you like the guy that was on the couch? You had to have people bring you in because you couldn't make it yourself. I mean, are you like the Pharisees? Are you like the doctor of the law? Listen, if we're going to pick out a hero here, you know who the hero is? Jesus is. But we're like one of them other people. Funny thing about Peter, and as I look at his life over the years, I see a man who was full of zeal and no knowledge. But it, like I said, in the key verse of this thing, we've toiled all night and caught nothing, but yet at thy word I'll let down the net. At thy word. Do you trust his word that much? Why does it stay on your desk more than it stays on your lap? Why does it stay in your car and don't ever make it to be read during the week? Oh, preacher, you don't understand. I get on my phone, yeah, and you answer text mails and emails and Instagram and all this other stuff instead of reading your Bible. There's a thing, listen, it's called airplane mode. You need to familiarize yourself with that if you're going to read your Bible on an electronic device. I don't know what they call it on Google, but Apple's airplane mode, is it the same on all of them? Or listen, maybe you just need to get your Bible back out and read your Bible. Cut that fang off, as they say. Give it a rest. We talk about, boy, them crackheads, boy, them meth heads, boy, them... And we're sitting there with a little thing in our hand that we can't put down. If we do, we have a nervous breakdown. We might be addicted, too. Listen, I want to be like them guys that Paul described over in Corinth over there in 1 Corinthians. They were addicted to the ministry. If you can get addicted to something, get addicted to the right thing. Get addicted to Jesus Christ. Don't be able to put him down. And as we look at this thing again, this is a power we can show. It's a power we can show. Are you like the leper? You want to just ask God straight up to change you, or you'll never be different? If you feel like that, you're in good company, because everybody in this room has got saved went the same way. Secondly, if you like that palsied man, there is no hope for you but Jesus. No hope at all. Only hope you have is Jesus. If you like the Pharisees, well, you think you're getting by on your own pretty good, and you don't need anything. You're just like the last days Christians of Revelation chapter 3 in Laodicea. You have need of nothing. Which one do you want to be more like? Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you.